Astonish your world. Always do right. This is Instant Inspiration. Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Campo, California. Astonish your world. Always do right. Now, that really is a corker. That really is something that sets us all on edge, on ear, on the end. Think about it. Do we always do right? Do we always do what we know is right to do? Do we always say the right thing and think the right thing and do the right thing? If we did, now this is not what you think it is. This is the right thing according to you. Now, if we always did the right thing according to us, there would be no tension in this world. There'd be no anxiety. There'd be no unhappiness. Because we're not trying to please anybody else. We're just pleasing ourselves. Astonish your world, always do right. In other words, you don't care whether the rest of the world likes it or not. You do what you want to do, and you do it because it is right in your estimation. Now, can you ever do something that is right in somebody else's mind? Well, you can try, but you won't be happy about it. Now, you think it's right, for instance, like my wife, she didn't like to sit through a certain movie, so she sat out in the lobby. Now, she could have walked home, it was three blocks away, but she waited because she knew we were going out after the movie for some ice cream and stuff. So, but she did what was right for her, not sitting in that movie. And we sat in that movie because that was right for us. Now, how can the same thing be right and wrong for one family? Well, perhaps it was wrong for all of us to be in that movie. And it was right for her to sit out there, and we should have gone join her, or at least maybe gone to another theater. But we didn't. Now, what is right and what is wrong? Did I hate her for doing what she did, being discourteous to the rest of us and going out there and saying, you're looking at a dumb movie, you know? Or did I just say, okay, you do your thing, I'll do mine, you know? I even offered to drive her home or let her take the car home. It was only three blocks, but we still drove. And she said, no, I'll just wait. So she waited. Now, did she astonish me? Did she astonish me doing what was right? Oh, yes, she did. She astonished me by not going to that movie. She hadn't done that before. This was the first time she'd ever made that decision. I am not going in that movie. I saw it. I saw enough of it that I don't want to see it. And bless her heart, because she was really in charge of herself. Mm-hmm. Now, can we do that?
Yes.
Can we do that?
Yes.
I was talking to Gregor on the phone today, and Gregor was telling me all about the talks that I'm giving on the internet. And he was referring to different ones, and I was telling him about the going up to the mountain, you know, on top of Little Smoky. He said, yeah, he remembered me talking about Mount Everest. And so, I mean, he's really tuned in to hearing about it. And then he said, but you know that Hillary was not the first man to step on top of Mount Everest. That his guide was the first man to step on Mount Everest. And the guide asked if he could step up there, and Edmund Hillary said yes. But Hillary still is given the credit for being the first man to be up there, because he did a courtesy to the Sherpas. It's their mountain, and they were the first ones to step on top of it. Now, it takes a big man to do something like that. It takes a real big man. And Edmund Hillary thought he was right. He thought he was right in doing that, and he was. He was right. It was such a noble gesture, but it's never played up. If of course, Hillary paid for the Sherpa, he paid for the trip, he paid for everything, and then when he got to the top, the Sherpa said, can I step on there first on behalf of my people? And Hillary said, my God, yes, how wonderful. What a great thought. I'm sure they talked about it a little ahead of time, too. But in any event, he did. And astonish your world. My goodness, you know, if the world were to really think about that, they'd be astonished. But they just think about Sir Edmund Hillary being the first man to step on top of Mount Everest. And Gregor saw a movie of it, and so he said, no, it wasn't. And I thought, how about that? And he also saw a movie which said that this young man who went up to the top of the mountain without oxygen was German or Austrian. I said, no, he was Italian. And he said, no, he spoke German. I said, that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean a thing, because he was there. Greg said he saw the movie of this fellow and how he trained as a little boy, and he would run up a 6-kilometer mountain. I guess that's quite far, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And he would run up that every single day to build up his lungs and to, you know, give him the capacity to go and do what he wanted to do. He really trained and trained very diligently, and he wrote a book, and he did other things. But he astonished the world, my goodness, just by doing what he felt was right. Now, it would have been one thing if he had gone up with a group of other people without oxygen, but to go up alone without oxygen, that is a masterstroke. He fell off the mountain at one point, too, and got caught in a snowdrift and climbed back up. But what a man. What a man. I think he must have been in his 20s or 30s at the time, but my, how he trained for that and how brilliantly he did it. Now, did he astonish the world? Oh, my goodness, yes. He astonished the world. Did Hillary, you know, astonish the world? He sure did. And he astonished it so beautifully, the Queen knighted him. And it's a wonderful thing when you start realizing that you can astonish the world by always doing right. But it's what you think is right. And someone else might say, you are out of your head going up on top of that mountain where you have no air, where it is so cold, where it is this and that, and a little wind chill makes it into double knot, you know. And that is terrible. But they went and they did it, and they had a great time. It was something they had to do because it was in them. For them, it was right to do. Now, many people were killed in the process of climbing up there, but that was right for them too. That was their choice, to be known as one of the dead on the mountain, you know. Sound, doesn't sound too cool, but these are things that go on in life. We all have the opportunity of doing what is right for us. We get in trouble when we try to do what's right for others. We get in trouble when we try to listen to others and not follow the divine within ourselves, because then what we're doing is we're not being true to ourselves. And when you're not true to yourself, you accomplish nothing. You accomplish nothing, worse than nothing. You accomplish worse than nothing, because then you haven't even done your thing. And you haven't done their thing because you didn't accomplish it. Now, can we always accomplish whatever we set out to do? Certainly. Anything, no matter what it is. Does that mean we do it fully? Not necessarily. But we accomplished it. I chose to climb Mount Everest. And I took the helicopter up to the base camp. And then I walked up the mountain for a little ways. And I said, that's fine. I have climbed Mount Everest. Not all the way, but I've climbed Mount Everest. Now, how many people can say they climbed Mount Everest? Thousands of them. They take thousands of people in there every year so that they can walk up a little ways and say, they climbed Mount Everest. Not to the top, but I climbed it, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a moot point, but in their mind, they're always right. And they can say, I climbed Mount Everest. And they don't have to say it, not all the way to the top. But if they're asked, they'll say it, you know, no big deal. And how many people have been to the Antarctica? The Antarctic. The Arctic and the Antarctic. Mm-hmm. How many people have been to the Antarctic? They run tours down there. You can take vacation tours to the Antarctic. And you can walk on the Antarctic ice. And you can go in and you can see the sea creatures down below the ice, because they have a way you can do that. Mm-hmm. And it's really quite something. Mm-hmm. Really quite something. Now, If it's right for you to do it, you'll do it. If it's not right for you to do it, you won't. Now, I do not believe Sylvia is going to jump the next boat and run down to Antarctic. Nor is Ingeborg going to jump the boat and go to the Arctic. The Arctic is just out in the open, you know. But there are a lot of people who live up in Alaska, and they're finding a new oil field up there, and that's right for them to be there. And they're having a great old time. And you say, well, not really. They'd rather be somewhere else. Well, then why aren't you? You're there because it's right for you to be there. You chose to be there. You chose to experience it. You chose to have the fun of saying, I was there. And that's it. Now we have Dipama, who is a terrific girl. And she is doing what? She is teaching the Indians how to paint. She's teaching the Indians how to be artists up in the northern reaches of the Eskimos, in the northern reaches of Canada. And she is just an amazing girl. She, I don't think she's taken her son up there yet. He's about 10. But I think he'd get a real kick out of it. But she goes up there and spends a whole season teaching the Indians how to do painting. And now she's in the process of translating our textbook, The Art and Science of Wholeness, into the Inuit language up there. And I think that's going to be fascinating, because as you look at it, it's sign language. And can you imagine saying what we say in our book in sign language? We find it difficult to say it in German or French or Spanish, much less sign language, but how lovely. Now, do you think they can get across the point in sign language? Sure they can. Do you think they can do it if they're always doing what's right and they're always saying it to the best of their ability? Now, Philip Schatz translated, he didn't translate, he had translated, what was it, I'm number one, and in the translation of the book, different people read it after having read the original, and they said, well, he's rearranged the chapters, and he's done this, and he's done that. And yeah, that's true, he did. And it pleased him to do it. For him, it was right. And for people who read it in German and never read it in English, they didn't know the difference. They found all the chapters beneficial to them, and that they were not in an order that I had written them originally, didn't make any difference. But for Philip Schatz, that was right. He was doing what was right. And the thing is, he didn't believe in himself, or else he would have moved all the books. As it was, he only moved about two-thirds of them. But you see, if he believed in himself, if he felt what he was doing was right, everything would have gone just smooth as silk. But when we don't believe in ourselves, we can see the results in the things that we do. They don't function very nice. Now, astonish your world, and you're the creator of your world. Astonish your world by always doing what is right. Always do right. Now, that's not easy as it sounds, because if the crowd says, let's go this way, and you want to go that way, then you're in trouble. If the mob says they want to go this way and you want to go that way, you're in trouble. If you are a leader and you are able to, by your craft and genius, move the crowd your way, wonderful. Now, they don't have to believe you. They don't have to do anything. But a magician, you know what a magician is? He does what? By legerdemain? So a magician is saying, all right, ladies and gentlemen, here we have this here, and we have this here, this beautiful hat and the bottle here, and this and then this. Now, oh, hey, hi, what you doing over there? And everybody turns and looks over this way, and he makes his switch, and then he comes back. Oh, yes, by the way, we're doing this, and out it comes, you know. But not so dramatic all the time, but subtly, he gets you to look somewhere else. What is one of the best ways a magician gets you to look somewhere else?
His assistant.
His
beautiful
female assistant. Even the women look at her short dress and at her well-built body and at her coquettish manner. very distracting. And so he could do all sorts of things where he needs to have a moment of privacy to do his legerdemain. But you see, astonish the world. Always do right. Do what you believe is right. And the magician, he does what he believes is right. And if someone comes up to him and says, you cheated. He says, no, I didn't. Yes, you did. You had that rabbit stuck underneath the table. That's right. But how do you call that cheating? Well, you didn't pull him out of the hat. I did, too. I just put the hat next to the table and pulled him out, you know. But that wasn't fair. You know, you made us think. Ah, I made you think that you pulled the rabbit out of the hat. And he'd been in there all the time. Well, that can be done, too. That's a more expensive trick, but that can be done, too. Because you have a hat that has special partitions in it, and your rabbit is conditioned to be in a tiny space for a little while. But the top of the hat is all full of holes so he can breathe. But you see, you're doing your thing, and you're doing it well. Astonish your world. Always do right. Astonish yourself. Always do right. Astonish the divine in you. Always do right, and you'll be amazed how much everything else in your life flip-flops right in the direction you want to go. So have a lovely evening, and know that I love you, I love you, I love you.